big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
That was Aretha Franklin with Baby I Love You from 1967. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music on a Saturday morning. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye then.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Oh, that was quick.
Is that it? That felt really, really flew by.
It's a fast show this week.
It was. You can tell when it's going well because
it was good, man.
It really whizzes by. That clever thing you said about good morning.
Saying good morning to you when you asked me.
Smart.
I just came right back with it.
Did
because
you?
I thought, when you
it's
asked me.
It's natural now, isn't it?
When you said to me, good morning. I just sort of thought, what would be a funny thing to say? And I just said good morning right back, but in kind of a upbeat
way. Why you get the laughters.
Yeah, that's true,
they're
isn't it?
They're better than laughters.
They're much heavier.
They've got an L.
They're, you could really do some damage with them.
Yeah. So this morning, listeners, we've got great music coming up, haven't we? We've got some terrific free plays. And of course, did that not sound sincere?
It's just desperate when you look through the playlist and you say, oh, look at the music. Well, we're going to be playing
some people listen for the music.
Of course they do.
We got some
like
Jesus and Mary Chain.
Have we?
We got some Santo Gold.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
What else?
Some Ting Tings.
Oh. Have you got these? Have you got the Ting Tings album yet?
No.
Come on.
No.
Granddad?
I'm past that kind of thing.
Are you really?
Yeah, I don't buy things just because the mags tell me to.
Yeah.
I don't even buy the mags, so no one tells me to.
Really?
Yeah.
You're missing out on the mags. It's all about Mags from AHA.
Is it?
It's amazing.
Mags. He's very handsome.
He's an extraordinary piece of work, isn't it? But seriously, a serious tease, though, for later on in the show, we are going to be joined by... Has he won any Oscars?
No, but he's won a Cernus.
He's won a Cernus.
Yeah, he's a sir, so you do have to respect that.
He's a knight.
I call him Sir Roger.
It's nice to have a knight in the big British castle.
It is.
Sir Roger Moore is going to be on the show. We don't normally have guests on this programme, of course, but we are bending the rules for Sir Roger.
Yep, it's the only time you'll see him or hear him in the media this month.
That's true. And it's weird because he's got an autobiography out, but he's chosen not to publicise it.
He's not going on any shows.
At all. This is an exclusive. He has not been on any programmes at all, apart from this one. So it's quite a big deal, I think you'll agree.
No, he has obviously been on various shows.
What?
But it's good. He has. I'm afraid I saw him on Paul O'Grady.
Oh, for goodness sake.
But it's going to be very different.
Because
we're hopeless.
Yeah, that's true,
and
isn't it?
All the shows he's been on before have had professional presenters on them.
Yes, I forgot.
He hasn't yet stumbled into an arena like this. No, but we're going to be brilliantly professional. I've read his entire biog.
Well done.
Yeah, got all the factoids.
Yeah.
So, you know, I bet Ross and Savage. He's not called Savage anymore, is he?
Lily, yeah, he is, yeah.
I bet they haven't read the book.
No, exactly. Probably not. Ross can't read.
He can't read.
He can't actually read.
He can't see past all his piles of money.
But I'm going to be compiling a list of questions to ask Roger throughout
Are
the
you?
Show. Yeah. I was thinking maybe listeners could help me with it.
I'm going to be much more freeform than that.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm not.
He's going to prefer my technique.
I don't think so.
I really prefer the tall one. I liked it when the short, tubbier one asked me whether I liked Roger Moore.
The tall one would make an excellent James Bond.
The shorter, more intelligent one would make a wonderful villain.
Yes, that's fair enough. I'm happy with that. That's something to look forward to.
Okay, let's have some more music now. Here they are. It's
good.
The Killers
good.
With
well
Human.
Done.
Well, the two are not mutually exclusive, are they?
It's fine to do both.
You can be human and be a dancer. If you're a ferret and a dancer, it's more unusual, but it's not unheard of.
More lucrative.
It's much more lucrative. Mm. You get invited on all kinds of programs.
Mm.
It's the dancing ferret man! But, you know, the dancing human, it's not such a big deal. So, there you go. We've explained it for the Killers. That should be the end of that problem. And I don't want to hear that song ever again.
Now, we should explain...
I'm joking. I love the song.
It's a great
it's
song.
It's a great song.
The Killers there with Human, released in the year 2008.
Oh, that's a vintage year.
In the month of October.
Very good.
I only just managed to get that information out.
Well done.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We've got an apology to make, listeners, of Song Wars. We felt that because Sir Roger was coming in, and we planned to play him our Quantum of Solace songs from several months back, it would be too cluttered a show if we played our spooky song,
That's
Song
true,
Wars,
yeah.
this week.
Overload.
Plus, we thought it would give us an extra week to fine-tune them, because it's not an easy... Once again, we haven't chosen a particularly easy task. I feel it's too broad.
Have you had any initial thoughts about spooky
I've laid the music track down.
Have you?
I just haven't approached the lyrics.
And is the mood of... Can I ask you, is the mood of the music itself spooky?
Well, yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've gone for a spooky sound. It's scary, I tell you, when I play it back. I get scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask you what milieu?
You know you can't,
genre?
Because I think it's going to give you an unfair tactical advantage.
I bet it's...
You know knowledge is power.
Is
in
it?
In the high-stakes world of Song Wars.
Damn it.
In the nuclear confrontation that is Song Wars.
Yeah.
Any kind of information is... Did I say that already? Power...
You did, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just
we've covered that
repeating
already.
It to stress it.
So yes, no new songs this week, but of course a reminder of our are we going to play the whole I guess we'll have to play the whole of the songs to Roger,
yes.
Right?
I guess Sir Roger will be baffled by them.
He knows that we're going to do this, is that correct? He doesn't think that I'm worried that he's going to think that we're just going to chat to him about his book. Which we're not really going
to. I'm going to chat to him.
Are
his
you?
Book's quite interesting in a couple of respects. I've got those questions. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
If he looks, just give me a wink or a nod or a sign. If you think the interview should backpedal into like Radio 4 mode, and I'll take care of that.
I'm not really worried about it. I don't really want to talk to him about it.
There's interesting things.
I'm
in
sure
the book.
It's a fact. I'm
book
not,
is
I'm
great.
Not dissing the book. It's great. It's really good. A little bit of a.
He went to school pretty much opposite where you live. Is that not interesting?
In South London?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
To you and him, but
I'll
nobody
ask,
else?
Ask him about that, yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. You're right. Okay, now we've got a free play for you now, listeners. This is my choice, and it's by Randy Crawford. You like a bit of Randy, Joe?
Yep,
do like,
I do.
Getting Randy every now and again?
Yes.
Well, she was on Radio 4 this week.
She?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of Radio 4 recently and enjoying it. I don't know why exactly. No, it's because it's good, I suppose, but it's made
me
feel...
It's the soothing tone as well.
It's the soothing tone.
Yes.
I've been listening to Woman's Hour. I enjoy Woman's Hour very much. And Randy was on Woman's Hour. She was charming.
Mm.
She was absolutely charming.
She's a professional.
Person. She really is. She just sounded delightful. And the guy that wrote Street Life was on there with her. I didn't realise that Street Life is such a saucy song. It's all about, like... chaps with cocaine spoons and being filthy and but she sings it so sweetly you wouldn't have an idea. Anyway, I'm not going to play Street Life. I'm going to play this song, which I always thought was very Bond-like, One Day I'll Fly Away, you know? And I forgot when they played a little snippet on Radio 4 how much I love this song. Randy Crawford with One Day I'll Fly Away. That's very good. DJ Format with Separated at Birth. Is that a new song, James, our producer?
It's from 2005.
Oh,
yeah.
The olden days. Well, that was very enjoyable. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Do you read about the spammers this week, mate?
No, mate. What's that news?
Caught a couple of spammers responsible for a third of the world's spam.
No. Why are you saying it in an Australian accent?
Guess.
Because they're Aussies.
They were Australian men.
No.
Although they were operating in Australia and New Zealand, they didn't pin down whether they were Aussies or Kiwis, but I would say they were almost certainly Aussies.
They were operating in New Zealand as well.
Yeah, they were operating in New Zealand?
You see, that's more South African.
South African, isn't it?
What is the difference between an Australian accent and a New Zealand accent?
And a Kiwi accent.
I think my only frame of reference is Flight of the Conchords.
Yes, Conchords.
And Rhys Darby. Now, he's... From New Zealand?
Yeah.
And New Zealand to me seems very slightly breathy.
Yes.
Secretive and sort of punchy.
That's just the way that Rhys Darby talks, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Whereas Australians just a bit more broad like that.
Exactly, yeah. They're just
is
about to
right?
punch you. Yes.
Everything's quite exciting in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And more breathy.
Well,
Ernest?
As a lazy generalisation, I always characterise the Kiwis as like the Canadians to the Australians, Americans.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You know that we're slightly obsessed with the accents and actors doing them badly in films.
Mm.
I thought it could be a competition. You know, like competitions at the Big British Castle. But if we were, you could have people phone in and they'd pretend to be a particular nationality and we'd have to guess whether they were putting on an accent or not.
Right.
It's like an accent test.
We can do that, can't we?
Can we do that?
As long as we don't give them prizes or offer prizes, isn't that the thing? Yeah. We can do that. Let's do that today.
Can we do that?
Yes.
Would it be worth doing?
Yeah. Well, let's try it. So what are you asking people to do?
If you think... Oh, I don't know. What am I asking people to do?
Yeah, you haven't thought it through, have you?
I haven't thought it through.
That's fair enough. You were talking off the
Let
cuff.
Let me give it a little bit of a think-all-through.
Mm.
I'll think it through.
Pop it in the think box.
And then we'll see whether it's worth flying. That my problem is that how would you know whether the person was lying or not? You'd have to just depend on them being truthful.
Howard the Duck. How would you know?
Howard the Duck. You're distracting me now. Sorry, I love that film. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
No, we'll talk about it later. But that's good about the spam, though.
Yeah, sorry,
man. Third of the world spam they got rid of in one fell swoop. I mean, that's progress. That gave me real cheer this week.
What sort of spam were they sending? Was it to do with winky size?
Winkle Wonkles, yeah.
It was winky size.
And the drugs and the Viagra.
Was it discount meds?
Exactly, exactly. Right. And it's two guys.
Really?
At the top of this operation. They've got, you know, they've got other people and they've got lots of robot machines. It's all about, what did they call them? Web bots or net bots or botnets.
Botnets.
Botnets. Why not net bots? Why is it botnet? Anyway, they've sorted all the botnets out and they're killing them all and it's like...
Kill the botnets.
It's like Clone Wars out there.
Oh, it's exciting.
Except much more exciting. So right now, here's a bit more music before the news, ladies and gentlemen. Don't know if you've heard of this artist. He's a young ruffian. He's mixing it all up. He's a white boy, but he's got kind of crazy hip-hop style grooves. I mean, that sounds unbelievable, doesn't it, Joe?
It sounds wrong. It shouldn't be allowed.
He's called Beck. What? And this song is called Loser. Delightful. Ironical. That's Beck with Loser. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Time now for the news, read by Claire Runacres. Creedence Clearwater Revival with Bad Moon Rising. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Always reminds me, is it over the closing? What? Where is it in American Werewolf in London?
When they're in the shower, I think, isn't it?
Is it the dirty scene?
It's
That's
filthy
why
scene.
It's so reminiscent.
Yeah.
Evocative.
It's burned into your brain.
Of Jenny Agutter's boobs.
Her lovely, lovely boobs. Mm. She's a someone who is the object of a lot of adolescent fantasy, wouldn't you
Well,
think?
She was around the time, because that was a very powerful scene of physical intimacy between two consenting human beings.
When previously one had maybe only seen her in the Railway Children.
Plus that was when VHS first came to Britain and American Werewolf in London was one of the first movies to be released on VHS and there was no certification. So anyone who was a kid around those days would have seen all sorts of forbidden things.
Beautiful things.
Including Jenny Agutter's areas.
Pop knobs.
Her agutters.
Have you seen Railway Children recently?
No.
That film is hard to watch.
That doesn't have any scenes of physical intimacy between adults.
No, not really, no.
It's got her waving her pants in the air to stop the train.
What's the girl with the fairly large teeth called?
Titty.
No, not Titty.
Swallows and Amazons. Is she called Titty? There's lots of books where they've got, you know, of that period where they've got funny names like that.
Yes, yes. No, she's not called that.
Bunty.
Bunty, something like. Where she's got...
Frolicker.
Frolicker.
come in for tea, Frolicker. Come on. And you, Titty. And Bunty. Sit down.
Waffles.
Stop Waffles. That. That's the dog.
No, it's the sun.
Is it?
Waffles.
Waffles.
Stop it, Waffles.
Bird's Eye Potato Waffles.
Oh, waffly, sort of a name versatile. Anyway, listeners, we were going to have a go at this thing, right? It's not a competition because competitions
we
are
evil.
We were
going to. We are going to. We've decided to try this.
Yeah, right. So do you want to explain or should I?
What we'd like you to do, listeners, is help us test our ear for accents. We want you to email us at adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk or text us on 64046 if you either have a genuine, very strong foreign accent or you reckon you're so good at faking a foreign accent that if you speak to us in that accent, we won't be able to tell that you're pretending.
And what we're going to do, our producers here, James and Claire, are going to take your calls or your they're going to phone you up basically and they go to assess whether your accent is sufficiently strong.
You have to be straight with them.
Yeah You have to tell them like, okay, I can do a good South African accent, so here it is. And if they're sufficiently impressed, you'll go through and we'll end up with two real
ones. No, we don't know. We'll just end up with maybe hopefully three callers. We'll
three
go
callers.
Through them pretty quickly, but we'll test our ability to tell whether an accent is real or fake. We may get you to say particular sentences,
right.
Engage you in some kind of provocative or testing conversation.
We should
that
think
might
of like
trip
a,
you up.
A standard sentence then, right?
Yeah, we'll
like
do a little
a
bit
control
of
control sentence.
But in the short term, if you think you've either got a really good, strong foreign accent or you can fake it amazingly well, Oh, it doesn't have to be amazingly well. It would be quite amusing if it was badly.
Well, it's up to you what you
yeah.
think.
Yeah, like. Then send your name and phone number right now to adamandjoe.6music. That's the number 6, not the word 6, at bbc.co.uk. Or text us on 64046 and we will call you back if our producer selects you.
Obviously, that's only if you're listening to this show live.
Yeah, if you're listening again, then this is in the past.
It's all happened in the past. Okay, more music now. It's time for Santo Gold with Say Aha. Is this actually about Aha? I can't remember.
Let's find out.
Let's find out. This is Santo Gold. Santo Gold with Say Aha. No, it's not about Aha, is it?
No, it's a song for dentists.
Have you seen the version of Take On Me on on YouTube?
It's a new YouTube craze, literal videos, right? Where you get an existing video, you remix the sound to make the lyrics state literally what's happening in the picture.
Mm.
And it's very effective, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
It's brilliant, though.
Someone's done it with the Take On Me video.
Yeah.
And it works a treat. He's done a good job of, like, redoing the track as well.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got hold of an instrumental. I wonder where you get hold of them things.
You reckon he's got... I think maybe he was... I assumed that he'd done it himself.
No. Oh, re-recorded the entire track?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Might be insane there.
There used to be. Years ago, I remember seeing on Tomorrow's World a machine that could filter out the lyrics,
the vocals.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, you can still do that.
Can you do that on a normal home computer?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it's a bit of software you have to get hold of.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'd like that software.
Well, you can probably buy it.
I'm going to.
So did you see in the news, Joe Cornish, there's deadly spiders?
No.
Did you see the deadly spider thing?
Oh, I read that new types of insects were coming into Britain because of the global warming.
Al Gore.
Yeah.
He's shipping them over.
He's packaged them up in a big crate.
Yeah.
And sent them over on a weak bit of rope.
Thanks a lot,
Al
Gore.
So they snap and it smashes open.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Al Gore.
He has them on. His body is full of spiders. Did you know that? If you look up close, his skin undulates because he's just full of... He's not a man. He's just a million spiders in the form of a man.
Like Oogie Boogie in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Is that what happens?
He's great. Yeah, he's just a big sack. And when the sack comes undone...
There you go.
Was he called Oogie Boogie? Something like that.
I don't know. I don't like that film.
It's good, man.
What's that? What's that? It drives me insane.
I've rediscovered it since having children. You
really?
Know, I watched it again and it's really not
Is
that.
It good?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. The scary spiders, though. Ooh. I mean, have you ever been bitten by a spider?
No, but when I was in America recently, somebody pointed out a black widow spider on the streets of LA just hanging by an electricity box. He said, hey, that's a black widow spider. Watch out when you go into the Californian countryside. And lo and behold, I was swimming in a swimming pool, working, obviously,
still working in the pool.
And there was a black widow spider hanging in the corner of the pool.
Just having a cocktail?
Yeah.
What?
In a little inflatable chair.
Yeah.
And that was terrifying.
And he was saying, I got a great idea. It's about this man, and he can climb up walls, and he... You get where I'm going?
Spider-Man, yeah.
No, man-spider.
Man-spider?
Yes.
That's very different. It's frightening, though, isn't it? And we must all be careful in our daily lives for the new spiders.
Very good.
Watch out for the new spiders. There's a new spider. Maybe they should launch Spider Magazine, the BBC's Spider Magazine. It's all the latest spiders, a guide to them, what to be afraid of, a poster of the new spiders, interview with old spiders, what they think of the new spiders.
Yeah.
Spider facts.
That's a great idea.
BBC Spider Magazine.
BBC shops now. BBC. That's a very good idea. Have you ever seen the effects of a bad spider bite on YouTube?
You should. It's amazing. No.
Look for you.
Is that true?
Oh, it's amazing.
Because presumably it's not just a sort of boil on the skin. It's the person going into some kind of shock.
No. It's not that.
In that case, I'm not interested.
In the States, right, there's a type of, I think it's called a common brown, not called a common brown, but something the brown spider. Mm. And somewhere in the Midwest, if you get bitten by one of these things, obviously the thing to do is to go into hospital. But some of these folks don't have medical insurance, right? So there's videos of themselves.
Big issue in the election.
Right. There's some of these folks without medical insurance treating their own orange-sized swellings on their neck from the spider bite.
Puncturing them.
It is unbelievable.
No, draining them.
Draining them.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not recommending you check these out.
People are having breakfast, man. People are currently sitting in front of... what are they, grapefruits?
Yeah.
Which look exactly like orange-sized spider
if you've got a, if you've got a tough constitution, right, check these out. Otherwise, do not, because it's the most unbelievable thing you'll ever see.
Oh, my God.
Listen, it's your free play right now, Joe. What
is
have
it?
Got? Yeah.
I can't help... I can't stop thinking about...
Do you like seeing that kind
of stuff? Bursting the bubos.
It's, I mean, this is the king of all
bubos. Bursting of the bubos.
Yeah, you search for spider bite.
This is a sort of relaxing song just to ease us out of that trauma. Uh-huh. It's Bon Iver. It's from their current album. It's quite long, and it starts with pretty much silence and just a man banging on his acoustic guitar. So don't get worried.
That'll be Mr. Iver himself.
It picks up, and it's really beautiful, and it has an amazing use of an sort of R&B style... electronic vocoder in it, but very subtly used and interestingly combined with folk vocals.
Oh,
this
I
is
love
Wolves by Bon Iver.
Pulp with Babies. He's a national treasure, of course, Jarvis, wouldn't you say?
Joe I'd Paul? Say he's national treasure,
he's
too.
He's a national treasure, and he is going to be sitting in for Stephen Lazy Merchant, who is away on holiday, inverted commas.
We never do that kind of thing, do we? We're always here.
We're always on the job. We would never skip off.
That was a session recorded for the John Peel Show on Radio 1 on the 30th of May, 92.
And Jarvis is going to be filling in for Stephen Sunday week. I think this weekend it's going to be Keris Matthews. Lovely Keris. And as we heard in that trail
That's
before...
16 years ago.
16 years.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah.
Time flies.
Time just refuses to stand still, doesn't it?
Damn it.
As my body keeps reminding me.
Well, let's not go into that now. Are we ready to try this experimental non-competition event?
Yeah, let's try this. Okay. It might be a bit raggedy, listeners, so
bear with
us.
So if you've just tuned in, this is the idea. We reckon we can spot a fake accent a mile off. That's the premise of this segment. So we've invited listeners who either have genuine accents... or think they can do an impeccable pretend accent.
And we don't know which, obviously.
We've invited them to phone in, speak to us in their accent, and we have to tell whether they're genuinely foreign or pretending to be foreign.
Now, we don't have a control sentence yet, do we?
We don't have a control sentence, but let's...
Should we just chat to them generally?
Just chat a bit, yeah, and see what happens. We've got Francesca on the line. Hello, Francesca.
Hello.
Now, how are you doing, Francesca?
I'm doing fine. I'm in southeast London.
Right. And where are you from, Francesca?
Am I allowed to tell you?
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it?
You have to tell us, like, it has to fit in with the accent you're doing, whether it's real or
because obviously,
fake.
If were you to be pretending to be foreign, then it would immediately give it away if you told us you were from somewhere different than your accent. Do you see what we're saying?
Yeah.
So I'll ask you the question again. Where are you from, Francesca?
I'm from Italy.
Italy.
Italy?
Yeah. What's happened to your accent then?
I lost it on the way to England.
Oh, there's a little bit of it there.
You sound more Irish to me.
I thought you were Irish because we were testing the line just before you came on there.
Yeah.
And you sounded a little bit Irish. And I was speculating that maybe an Irish accent is something that a lot of women... seem to enjoy doing. Do you know what I mean? Like in the old, when I was at school, a lot of girls would do an American accent because that was fashionable at the time.
Well, and people do think I'm American as well sometimes, but I haven't been trying.
Do you know any poetry off by heart?
Or the lyrics from a song or something? Or pick up a magazine. Is there a magazine around there?
Hang on.
As long as it's a family magazine.
I have a book.
Oh, go on then.
Read a few sentences from the book.
As long as it's
sentences.
In no way leave out sweary the or dirty. It's
okay.
A family show.
Or political.
It's a bit depressing.
Depressing
book
we do.
There's nothing more sad and wasteful than a room full of intelligent and highly paid people waiting for a chance to attack something the speaker has said.
Okay, that's good, Francesca. Thank you.
She was getting to the six hats bit.
I think that accent is real, but I think it's slightly, with great respect, sort of mongrel. It sounds like and don't respond to this, Francesca. I'm talking to Adam here. I think it sounds like a mix between Irish and Italian.
Have you got any Irish roots there, Francesca?
I have, yes.
So are we now telling her to tell us?
Well, yes. Okay, now be honest with us. It's now time to reveal whether
My guess is that she is genuinely Irish with a bit of Italian. What's your guess, Adam Buxton?
I'm Italian with a bit of Irish.
Oh, she jumped right on in there.
She's Italian with a bit. But that,
there you go.
But there's no trace of Italian in your accent.
But no, but it's because she said earlier on that she was Italian. That was what gave me the clue.
Right.
She earlier on, she said, I'm Italian.
Right.
And I picked up on that. And I followed, you know, that's my genius.
I think I
understand.
There
we go. We've rumbled you, Francesca.
Yeah, that was quite easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite easy, but well done surviving life with that accent. Do you find it gets you into difficulties?
I was asked once if I was Chinese, and my boyfriend says I sound like Yoda.
That's a difficulty. That's two difficulties.
Yeah.
Well done struggling through.
You've got a nice voice, though, Francesca. Thank you very much indeed
for calling us.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
We've got Dave now.
Hey, Dave, are you on the line?
I am, yes.
No, this is more like it.
Dave, have you got a magazine handy or something, or a book?
I have many magazines handy here.
That might be a real accent, and we're just laughing
at
it.
Better not be. talk to us, Dave. Read from something clean, please.
I can talk about The Clash.
Hey, I can't
believe
you phoned
up. Come on, then, talk about The Clash.
They were not the most consistent of live bands. For every Clash show that blazed into life, there'd be another where the band acted like individuals.
Are you a film actor?
Because I am not, no.
You're not, no. You should be.
You really should be. You could be in films with that accent. You could play like a Polish gangster or...
Is that supposed to be Polish? It's Germanic. It is Eastern European, right?
Where are you from, sir?
Aren't you meant to guess?
Now he's from Germany. He can't. He doesn't even know where he's from.
Is that the name of a town? What did you say?
Can't you guess? He said.
Oh, I thought it was.
Yes, we guess that you're from either Germany or Poland, which...
or Streatham. Most
I'm actually
likely
from Liverpool.
Yes. Now, what's your real accent, Dave? Because we're guessing
that is my real accent.
There you go.
Oh, that's good.
Dave,
are you sure that's your real accent, though?
Not really, no.
Dave, read to us in your real accent, just with your normal voice for a second.
Okay. They were not the most consistent of live bands. For every Clash show that blazed into life, there'd be another where the band acted like individuals.
Wow, you really brought that sentence alive.
Thank you.
You should do Jack and Ori.
Dave, that's great, man. What do you do for a living, Dave? I'm guessing it isn't acting.
I actually write radio commercials.
Ah, do you write?
We don't have any commercials, otherwise we'd get you to write some.
Yeah.
But do you ever use your brilliant accent in public?
Yes, I've been arrested on a number of occasions.
But do you really think that's quite a good accent you've got there?
I do. I think it could open doors for me occasionally.
Do you think that's your best of all the countries and the accents in the world? Do you think that's your strongest one? Say yes.
South African, not bad.
Give us a blast of your South African, come on.
Hello, Adam and Joe.
Hello there, Dave. How are you doing, mate?
That's Australian.
Right here.
I've lost it.
On the Adam and Joe show.
Okay, listen, Dave, thank you so much for calling. What's your weekend looking like? You doing anything fun? Little radio question.
Yeah, just taking the little kiddles and the missus into town for coffee and toast.
Coffee and toast.
Sounds lovely.
Good times.
We'll see you there. Thank you for calling, Dave. That's a very good accent. Well done. We look forward to seeing you in some major Hollywood feature films.
That was very good. Thank you very much, Dave and Francesca. So what do you reckon, Joe? Has that got legs?
I think it might do. I think it's important that from the moment you come on air, you're talking in the accent.
Yeah.
And you stay in that accent and stay in either a world of deception or truth. Do you know what I mean? Until such time as we ask you to be completely truthful with us. What I'm saying is you can toy with us. You can mess with us.
Sure.
Until we ask you the absolute question, at which point you have to be
honest. It makes it very difficult, though, if we're asking them personal information in character. Do you know what I mean? I don't think we should ask them, like, where they're from and stuff like that, because then it's too complicated. We should just stick to them reading something out of a book, don't you think?
I don't think we should underestimate our listeners. I think they can create
you
fake...
You see, I was thinking fake. That we should underestimate them.
They can create fake backstories for themselves.
That's
because
true.
You know, on the basis of those two calls, we got them both instantly.
Yeah.
From the moment Dave uttered a syllable, it was clear he was not from Germany.
Oh, Poland.
And Francesca sort of gave it away in her preamble. So if you think you can do better than either of those two, send us an email, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk with your phone number, and we might try a couple more later in the show.
Right now, here is Blur. Man, I heard this song the other day. I forgot how amazingly good it was. You know, do you want to hear a little slightly sad name-droppy story?
Go on, then.
Once, a long time ago, Joe, when we were doing our TV show and things were very exciting, I went to the Groucho Club. You've heard of the Groucho Club?
Yes.
And this was back in the day when Keith Allen and Alex James would sort of be kings of the Groucho Club, and they were just there all the time. And so I went there, and there was Alex James, and it was very exciting. He was sat with Craig Cash from the Royal Family. And I sort of sidled over and insinuated myself into their conversation.
Oh, God.
And they were talking about what the best single ever recorded was.
Brilliant.
And I thought, oh, I can join in with this conversation. And Alex was saying maybe it was Ashes to Ashes by David Bowie. I think he was saying that. I can't remember. But then, and this was around the time that Beetle Bum had just come out, I think.
Guess what I said? I think maybe Beetle Bum is one of the best ever, Alex. I love you.
I didn't actually say I love you, but that was clearly the implication.
What did he say to that?
He told me to F off.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Good man.
In sort of, you know, in a friendly way, but in a fairly emphatic way. Because he had correctly rumbled me as a disaster.
Have you ever met him? Did you ever meet him after that?
Yeah, I did, and we had a nice, enjoyable time. But,
Well, then here is the greatest single ever.
I mean, it is an amazing song, and it has a little weird coda at the end of where they're saying something that I can't make out.
Islam.
It sounds like Islam, Islam, Islam.
That would be very provocative.
It would be, wouldn't it? Let's hear it. Beetle Bum by Blur. What about the end bit? Oh, I like it at the end. That's the single version that we played there. It's got a fade out on it or something. But on the album, there's a good little ending. It goes like the tape sort of winds up, comes off the spool at the end there. That was Blur with Beetle Bum. That's an amazing. So that's in my top singles ever. I mean, that was a wonderful heady time. When was that? 98? 10 years ago,
yeah,
or something?
I don't know.
Something like that. A long time ago. And that was good, man. That was good stuff. That was off, was that off 13, I think? That had song 2 on it. That was a good album, wasn't it? Anyway, hey, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. We've got Sir Roger Moore coming in later.
Very exciting.
On the programme. He'll be in around about 11:30, something like that.
Yeah, the idea is to get his reaction to our Quantum of Solace songs, even though I would imagine he'll be very positive about the new Bond. Who wouldn't be?
He was positive on Jonathan Ross
the other day. He has to be. I mean, it's a tricky gig. You know, if you're an actor who's filled Bond's shoes, you'd have nothing but respect for anybody else who attempted it.
I'm sure he doesn't feel threatened, though. He's widely recognised as, like, the quintessential... I mean, some people are snobbish about him, aren't they? Some people say, oh, no, Connery's better because he's harder-edged and Roger Moore's too camp. But I guess it's like Doctor Who. It's the one that you grew up with, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I made my views clear in my song.
I mean, he's the man for me, because it's not like I can't take James Bond seriously.
And this is no insult to my father, in fact it's flattery, but I used to think my father looked a little bit like Roger Moore.
Mm.
And therefore I thought that I did, and therefore I thought that I was going to be James Bond.
Yeah.
I think most people did. I think most, you know, young men go through the same thing, don't they?
A little bit of Bond fantasy.
Bond envy, yeah.
I don't think I ever did.
Really? Do you think I look like James Bond?
Yes, you do.
Thanks.
I thought I looked most like...
what's his name? Yeah. with the razor blade bowler hat.
Odd Job. No, like Odd Job.
Who's the little fella in the man
tattoo
with the golden gun? Yeah.
Hervé Villechaize.
Yeah. Quite a dirty chap, apparently, according to Roger's book.
That's right. He loved ladies, didn't he?
There's lots of very saucy anecdotes in here. I enjoy them enormously. Anyway, he's coming in later, probably sometime about 11:15 or 11:30.
I know you don't like talking about Jonathan Ross because you're always worried that we might shed listeners, but did you see his show last night?
A little bit of it.
It was very sweary, I thought.
Was it?
And you know, you expect a little bad language on there, but it was just wall-to-wall effing and jeffing last night.
Really? Well, it's become acceptable, hasn't it? Jamie Oliver does it. His new show is full of swearing.
Right.
That other stupid chef does it.
Ramsay.
Crazy hair, Scarface, Ramsay.
He was on there last night and he was...
Sorry, crazy hair, Scarface isn't a very respectable way to describe him. He's a talented and brilliant and very clever, nice, kind
man. Hey, crazy hair, Scarface! That'd be a good name for a gangster, though. But man, he was on there, he was effing and jeffing. Gervais, Ricky Jarvis was on there and he was... Everything
was... From Pincus.
It was F off this, F off that, the whole way through. And then Sarah Silverman comes on. She wasn't actually...
Well, she's one of the world's cleverest and funniest swearers.
She wasn't actually swearing, but she was certainly making some very explicit references to...
You see,
to
she's the one whose entire
adult
career...
love practices.
Right, her entire career is based on provocation and saying shocking things.
She was...
Yet she's professional enough to get through a TV interview without actually using...
Although she was a little awkward, I thought.
Was she?
Show, yeah.
Was she? Well, awkwardness is part of her shtick.
Bit out of place. And she was one of those Americans
stick,
that came over and
part
didn't...
Of her shtick.
She seemed like she hadn't really bothered to find out what England was all about at
oh,
all.
Oh, no, she's a smart cookie.
Making a lot of references to American stuff that she, you know, talking about American... What was it? Some American antidepressant or whatever that no one would ever know about. And she's like, you don't have that in this country? I don't know. Have you seen her live? She's playing live tomorrow at the Labatt's Apollo, isn't
no,
she?
No, I haven't seen her live.
Yeah, well, that'd be interesting. It's a little dead end there. Though,
a conversational cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
A conv-de-sac.
Is it Ting Ting's time now, James?
It's got to be Ting Ting's time at some time, so let's get it over with now. This is Be The One by the Ting Tings.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, that was the Ting Tings with Be The One, and this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, and it's Text the Nation time, and as you'll already know if you've been listening from the beginning of the show, we've got Sir Roger Moore coming into the studio. You may have seen him on every other television programme, well, not a television programme, but every other media outlet this week, being very funny and entertaining. But we would like you to try and come up with a question that you've never heard Roger ask before. We want a killer question from our listeners, and that's Text the Nation this week. It's very straightforward. Questions for Roger Moore, and we're going to select one out of all of them that you send in and ask it to Sir Roger.
Have you got one?
I've got quite a few questions, yeah.
Are you, any that you're pleased with, the things that you think are original?
Well, it turns out that Sir Roger Moore... during the shooting of For Your Eyes... No, The Spy Who Loved Me, got terrible shingles.
Did he?
On the right-hand side of his face.
And you're Jimmy Shingles.
That's exactly where I had my shingles.
Right.
So I was going to chat to him about shingles.
Shingles,
apparently,
buddy.
Everyone loves that. People love to hear...
They love hearing about shingles.
Me and Sir Roger talking about buboes.
Shingle mingles,
facial
you could call
buboes.
It.
Mingle with the shingle.
Mingle with the shingles.
And apparently in some of the reverses of The Spy Who Loved Me, you can see his shingles.
Bit of shingle damage.
A little bit of shingle on the cheekbone.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's... fascinating, isn't
that
it?
That is interesting stuff. I can't wait to hear you asking him that question.
How many buboes did you have? Where on your face were they?
What's he going to say? I don't really
Did you
remember.
Scratch them, accidentally burst some?
Does he talk about it in the book?
Yes.
Oh, well, then he will remember, I guess. Mm. Shingles. Bonded by shingles. All I've got, yeah, I've only got one question in my locker.
What?
You know...
What's it like being James Bond?
Well, there was that, yeah.
Is that the one?
Well, now you've said it like that, it doesn't sound like such a good question. No, I had, would you like to Roger Moore? I had. That's the only one. That's not that's disrespectful, though, isn't it? But I just thought it might be a fun question to ask him a little bit. What?
That's a good idea.
You know, I just thought maybe
is that
that's
really the only one.
That's yeah. Because what else does he get asked, do you think? What are the things that he always gets asked? Like, what was your favourite Bond film to make? Did you get to keep the car in The Spy Who Loved Me?
That's a good question.
Did you have...
It's not looking promising for the
adult relations with all your co-stars, that kind of thing. I mean, did he...
No, I think he was fairly happily married quite early on in the game.
Fairly chaste.
With children, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What?
But
was
you,
it?
Listeners, you can see we clearly need help.
Yeah, we
this
need
is going to be
help.
Difficult unless we've got some good questions for Sir Roger. So please email adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk or text 64046 with your question for Sir Roger Moore, and we will pick the best ones or maybe the stupidest ones.
Yeah.
And ask them unto him.
Okay, free play now for you listeners. This is from the album Songs for Drella by Lou Reed and John Cale. Drella, of course, was their pet name for Andy Warhol, because he was like a cross, because they thought Warhol was like a cross between Cinderella and Dracula, right? And it's an amazing album if you haven't heard it. Weird little extracts from Warhol's diaries.
Hey.
Yeah.
We've got an email here from a listener, Matthew and Jane Wilson in Streatham. Jane is expecting twins. They say if we dedicate a song to them, they will consider calling the twins Adam and Joe.
No.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm going to
consider.
I'm going to dedicate. Yeah,
Matthew and Jane Wilson in Streatham.
It's not legally binding, is it?
So let's dedicate this to them.
Let's dedicate this, because this is a great song. Where do they live? Streatham.
Yeah.
Well, this song is called Small Town. I don't know if you'd call Streatham a small town, but I guess you
could. Roger Moore used to hang out in Streatham a lot.
Yeah. Well, this is all about growing up in a small town.
There you go.
Kelvin Harris there with Acceptable in the 80s. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Time is coming up to 10:30. It's a beautiful day here in London town. It's going to be great weather this weekend. Fantastic weather for going around, just walking and having fun and chatting to people. I'm just filling before.
You're doing a really good job.
I want it to be exactly 10:30 before I throw to the news. So if you are out this weekend, take care, have fun, and don't eat too much ice cream. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Time now for the news with Claire and Elizabeth. The Police with So Lonely.
You know, we've got builders working on the house next door to us.
View.
Yeah, the Cornish clan. And they are working very near to my bathroom window on scaffolding.
Have you caught them peeking?
Well, obviously I'm sexy. Mm-hmm. And they would want to maybe catch a snap, sell it to the European mags.
Sure.
But no, I haven't caught them peeking. But I get very self-conscious when I play music in the shower.
Right.
And I... Do you ever do this? I kind of approach it as if I'm DJing for them. And I decided, I thought, well, I got to play, you know, builder-friendly music. I don't want them to jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
Builders are very, you know, macho, and it's important to play, you know, proper music.
So what did you stick on there?
I put some Police on, hence mentioning it.
Of course.
And it was a smash. They were singing along, whistling along for the rest of the day.
Were they actually singing along?
There was some whistling. It was slightly embarrassed whistling. They curtailed it because I don't think they wanted to admit that they were enjoying the music so much.
Where were they from? Were they British builders or Polish builders?
I think they're foreigners, yeah.
Right. This is the best job I've ever done. Oh, the music is so great coming out from the bathroom over there.
That's what I was hoping they were thinking.
That's almost certainly what they were saying.
Some more personal news. We've had an email from Jeff Masson. He says, just wondering if you could confirm my possible sighting of Dr. Sexy, that's me, on the tube on Thursday at around 9:45. I was on the Victoria Line coming home, sat opposite two blonde girls who were having a right good bitch about some girl they worked with called Izzy. Their inane conversation didn't seem to interest Joe in the slightest, and he preferred to flick through his copy of the Metro at a rate of a page a second. I was contemplating calling Heat magazine to notify them of my celeb spotting, but I wasn't sure if it was the real Joe or if they'd be interested. That was me.
Or if they'd be interested. That hurts a little.
Well, no, I think he's right. I don't think we'd get to Heat.
Ouch.
Do you? I mean, do call them, Jeff, and see if it appears. I don't think we're...
Probably we wouldn't anymore.
No,
would we?
I don't think they'd be interested. But that was me, and I remember, Jeff, those two women, and they were having an extraordinary conversation.
About Izzy?
Yeah.
What's wrong with her?
They were saying, she's so two-faced. I can't believe she got the job. She must have been a completely different person at the interview if to get that job. I can't believe she's in the position she's in. I could do it better than her. Sort of thing.
What if Izzy's listening?
Well, Izzy, I felt like saying, now look, you two, I don't know Izzy, but I bet she's nicer than you two, because I've never heard two people... you know, you call her two-faced.
I bet they're nice to her.
I don't even know you, and you're being two-faced. Jeff, you should have said hello to me, and we could have, you know, sorted those women out. Because I bet they're unhappy.
Yeah.
What they were exposing really was a profound unhappiness within themselves.
Absolutely.
And they were. That's why they were attacking Izzy. If anyone knows Izzy or the two women, please get in touch. Maybe we can reconstruct that southbound Victoria Line journey.
What were you reading about in Metro?
I was just flicking through it.
Yeah.
Just scanning the headlines.
Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, the Winehouse.
That's what they usually talk about, isn't it? A few corrections from earlier on in the show for you listeners. Blur, Beetlebum was from the album Blur, not from 13.
Yeah, the song we played, The Bad Moon Rising, is when he turns into the wolf, not the sexy scene. That's Van Morrison with Moondance.
And
easy mistake to make.
Very easy. Sexy mistake. Here's email from Stu in Leeds. We were talking about, I was speculating about netbots and why they were called netbots, botnets. Why are they called botnets, not netbots? Hi, Adam and Joe. I'm going to give him a nerd voice because he
he deserves one.
Yeah. Hi, Adam and Joe. You.
No, that's too. You're going
too much,
far.
Isn't it?
You'll alienate him.
I will, won't I? Sorry.
The rage jars will plummet.
Sorry, Stu. Difficult.
Give him a really clever voice. Cool and clever.
Hello, Adam and Joe.
Yeah, that's it.
Now it just sounds like Bond.
No, that was great.
You were wondering why botnets are so called and not named netbots. Being a geek, I can answer your question. They are a network of bots, not a bot on a network.
Uh-huh.
Stu in Leeds.
It's just the way you said Stu in Leeds.
Having a nice bit of stew. In Leeds! Now, we've got a song coming up for you listeners. This is Friendly Fires. And is this the one we're playing now? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you've got to look at the bottom of the screen, don't
it's
you?
It's a new single from their self-titled debut album.
I'll never work it
Jumps
out.
Jumps in Cornish.
Here we go. This is called Paris. A wash of sound at the end there.
A douche. A douche, an audio douche.
A sound douche. From Friendly Fires with Paris. Very enjoyable stuff. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. I think we should find out about Text the Nation now. Let's have the jingle.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So we have Sir Roger Moore coming into the show in about 45 minutes, and we're asking you to help us think of really clever questions to ask him, something that maybe he hasn't been asked before, something that'll make this interview really memorable.
Would you like to Roger Moore?
We've got that one in reserve. Mm-hmm. That's our fallback position. But here are some suggestions from the listeners. Okay, where shall we begin? Is this like, do you like to hear this kind of thing?
Yeah, just I do, man. It makes it more real.
It is real.
This is what it's going to be like in the future.
It's what it's going to be like when Roger comes in. Just lots of silences.
Do you think we should talk to Roger like that?
No.
All the time. No. I'm going to.
No. If we do it from the very beginning, he'll just think that's real. And he'll think he's amongst friends.
These are my type of people. I like this radio station. Oh, it's intelligence.
If he's listening to this in the car on the way here, he is doing a U-turn.
He's going to be turning right
leaving.
Back.
I'm too tired for this.
This show sounds too silly.
Second thoughts. Call my agent.
Here's the first question that's come in anonymously. A question for Sir Roger. Was there any truth to the rumour that the girl from For Your Eyes Only was a tranny and went out with Des Lynam?
What? Where's he got
Come
that
on,
from?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Yeah, Roger. So, Roger, that girl from For Your Eyes Only, was she a tranny? Did she do Des Lynam?
James Bond. Did this... Was yeah.
She looks like a bloke. Hey, here's another one from Colin. Ask Rog, would he rather have a stumpy little tail on his bum or a gnarly little horn on his forehead? He's got to pick one. Cheers, that's, Colin.
That's not specific
just
to
reading
Roger, though, is it?
You out a cross-section of the questions. Yeah. I'm not saying these are the good ones.
Are we going
to
ask him that? No, you can't.
No, I don't think so. You know, that could just be applied to anybody. What does it tell you as well?
I find them quite insulting, those questions, because it...
Colin, you've insulted Adam.
You know, because it's a total... It's like they're so uninterested in you that that's right, all they can be bothered to ask you.
The question needs to be informed in some way, right? Yeah, like the Des Lynam tranny one.
Exactly.
That's a better question. So you wouldn't like this one.
James Bond. What?
No, I'm going to skip that one. I'm going to skip that
one
as well.
Did you read these through? Were you...
No, I picked the best ones, but now my criteria has become tighter. Ben in Liverpool says, did you get to keep the giant rubber bum that you had to wear as a disguise in Moonraker? Now, he's just imagining that, isn't he? There's no giant rubber bum in Moonraker, is there?
Giant rubber bum? As a disguise, is that like a subversive question?
I don't know what's going on there.
Why did you read that one out then?
Because it's interesting and mysterious.
I'm just thinking about your criteria tightening. I think you should see a doctor.
Let me see. Basically, the short answer is that all of the questions we've had in are quite silly or very serious. I'm scanning them now and I'm thinking, well, most of them are too silly or too dry.
Well, we've got to ask him something.
Well, this segment of Text the Nation can be to encourage.
So we've got two questions.
I'll give you some more.
Would you like to Roger Moore?
Okay.
And was that bloke a transsexual?
Well, here's someone from Dave in North Curry, Somerset. Love the show. Is Roger's middle name really me? I do hope it is, as I've believed this since I was small. Okay, I'm going to keep reading.
Well, that's like my question.
Well, I know,
isn't it?
But it's all we've got.
Oh, my
Dear
Lord.
Adam and Joe, oh, I can't read that one out.
Listen, we should play some music. You've got a free choice right
now. Look, this is a good one. Toby in Swindon. Roger, have you ever done Bond saying really ridiculous things when alone, at home and bored? And someone else emailed in the question whether a lady, while making love to Sir Roger, has ever asked him to do the Bond voice. Are those suitable questions?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's it. I'm interested to
But
know
listeners,
that.
You can see we're in trouble. Help us with some really good questions. For Roger Moore, 64046 or email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
Bond-based free playtime.
Yeah,
now.
Here's
this
one of
yours.
My favourite Bond songs ever. This is Carly Simon with the music from the Five Pints advert.
Bankers will be bankers.
Yes. Credit crunch.
Crunchy.
That's the House Martins. What was that one called?
Get Up Off Our Knees.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. There's a lot of excitement at the moment in the entertainment industry about the forthcoming Star Trek film.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Charlie Borman thing.
There's a lot of excitement about Charlie Borman's trip across. Where's he gone?
I don't know where he's going.
On
just
holiday.
To the shops.
About the new Star Trek film. Right now, I'm not a big fan of Star Trek.
You don't do Trek, do you?
No, Cornballs doesn't really like the Trekking.
He doesn't like episodic science fiction drama.
No, but you love it, don't you, Adam Buxton?
Love Trekking.
Big
love
fan of Star Trek.
I'm a big fan of the Star Trek TNG, actually.
Oh, really?
The Next Generation.
Not the 60s Star Trek?
Not so much. You know, I'd watch it if it was on when I was a nipper, but not a massive fan. So,
it's specifically the Picard era.
Loved Picard.
Picard.
And was very disappointed by the last couple of TNG movies.
Right.
Never fulfilled the promise.
It's a would you say it would be true to say that the Star Trek movie franchise has been kind of ground into the dirt?
Yeah, people did pops on it.
Increasingly diminishing returns for the fans.
Very much so.
Yeah, more and more disappointing. And it's due for resurrection.
Oh.
Isn't that right? Like J.J. Abrahams, he's got the dreams of a billion nerds held cupped in his hands.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I wouldn't. If anyone's going to do a good job, it's him, surely.
Well, what about you, Adam Buxton? What would you do with the Star Trek franchise?
I'd leave it alone, Joe.
Because not a lot's known about the film. There's a trailer, isn't there, that unveils the magnificent new Starship Enterprise.
Mm.
And there are some stills have been released now showing the crew that the new cast, all in their uniforms, apart from Kirk, because part of the plot is Kirk's process of becoming the captain of the Enterprise.
Right.
He's some kind of a renegade trainee or something who ends up having to take command of the Starship Enterprise under very dramatic circumstances or something. But their uniforms look similar.
Yeah.
They're the 60s colour, right?
So it's fairly simple.
Yeah.
Not too elaborate.
Not too elaborate.
When the... I always thought it was weird, like when Star Trek the motion picture came out. I didn't like the fact that they fooled around with the uniforms and made them sort of ornate and frilly a little
right.
bit, you know.
Right.
I didn't like it.
I think they've gone back to basics, but do you approve of that? What would you do with the franchise if you were going to bring it back?
Well, I'll tell you, this is a serious point, right?
Right.
Get ready.
Oh, dear. It's not the direction I wanted this to go in.
I want them to respect the colour schemes, okay? That, to me, is very important. It's like, you remember when Route Masters in London, the hop-on, hop-off buses?
The palette. It's key to the mood of anything.
Exactly. Route Masters used to have a lovely, warm interior. The upholstery on the seats was
checkered.
Kind of checkered oranges, reds, that kind of thing. And that, to me, was nice. But when they went, suddenly they went all neon, and the non-Route Master buses with the foldy doors, it was all cold and grey and neon-y. And that, I think, is what caused society's fabric to crumble a little bit, and it encouraged youths to behave in a cold, callous way, just like the colour scheme.
So you want it to have the 60s Star Trek colours?
Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, well, I think it's got those. I think you're in luck.
Good.
What about the bridge? Because technology's come on a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, all science fiction is really a product of its age because they always use the most sophisticated knobs available at the time.
That's a tough one, isn't
it? But knob technology advances very quickly, and often the knobs are outdated.
Do you know what Abrahams has done?
I've seen a shot of the bridge. Yeah, sure I have.
Well, he's bound to have made it all curvy and modern, like a curvy
Do you think?
Modern car.
Didn't they do that on the Next Generation?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Tell me.
It looks good to me.
Does it?
It looks kind of retro,
A little bit boxy.
Retro-futuristic, yes. Good. Have you seen the new Spock?
No.
He's a man.
Is he?
From things.
Yeah.
On something. I don't know what he's from, but he looks quite good. He looks very like your brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he white or black?
No, he's a Caucasian gentleman.
He's white, right. Because they had, on Voyager, they had a black Klingon called Tuvok.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a Klingon. No, he's not a Klingon. What am I talking about? Where's Spock from?
Vulcan. I'm not even a Trekkie. You're making such fundamental
well,
errors.
This is what I mean. I'm not into
what
the
sort
lore.
Of plot do you want to see in the new Star Trek film?
Oh, I don't know. I just want a big spaceship and lots of...
I don't want too much humour.
Right.
I'll tell you
that
much.
You want it taken seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is serious, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's utopia you're dealing with here.
Yes. And, of course, Simon Pegg.
Yeah,
the nation's favourite comedy star is playing Scotty.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm sure Simon is reverential enough to.
Oh, he looks good. The still of him looks very good.
Yeah.
He looks quite serious.
Yeah, good.
Playing older than he usually plays, gruffer.
I don't want it too campy. I'll tell you one thing I would like to see in there is a bit of fun to be had with moving around in time.
Time travel.
I like, yes.
Yes.
I love
They can do that on Star Trek, can't they?
Yeah.
Are you excited about it?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think J.J. Abrahams, he's pretty good.
Are you going to be there on the opening day?
Well, that's going a bit far.
Really? That's not the kind of thing you do.
I don't do that at all anymore. No. But I'll go out and I'll rush out and buy it on the DVD.
Oh, that's nice of you. On DVD, six months after it's come out of the cinema.
I'll project it.
You're not a Trek fan at all. You don't even know where Spock comes from.
All right, I'll go and see it.
That's better.
Will we get invited to the premiere?
No.
No.
Not after that display.
No.
All right, music time now. What's next?
It's the top of the hour. Let's
have
the top of the hour jingle. And then after that's a bit of White Stripes for you.
This is the voice of the big British castle. It is the top of the hour. Ooh, that's wonderful. I got so bored with the last hour. I'm glad it's gone. Now here's the new one. It's exciting and it's new. How do you do?
Ooh, wowza, that's the White Stripes with Seven Nation Army. Very apt, of course, because Jack White's done the theme tune to the new Bond film.
That's right, and we've heard that Sir Roger Moore is in the house. He's
Very
going
exciting.
To be joining us at around about half past the hour. And we're going to have to get our questions together for him, get them in order.
We are.
Oh, my lordy.
Oh, my lord. There's a good reason we don't usually... I mean, we've made an exception because Sir Roger is important to us both. We don't usually have guests, so we need to apologise in advance to our listeners and Sir Roger if our interviewing style isn't particularly evolved.
The last time I think we interviewed a human person, famous or not, was when we did this show called Adam and Joe Go Tokyo, was it not?
Right.
Years ago, like 2003, we were out in Japan and we were doing a show about popular culture. And I would say generally our interviews were poor.
Mm. I did lots for Radio 4, for the film program on Radio 4, and I was just much too blunt with very famous people.
James Blunt.
I was quite rude to Robin Williams.
Were you?
About the film Patch Adams,
Why?
I just thought I should tell it to him straight.
That's a low. Did you really?
Yeah, I thought, Robin Williams, you've been kowtowed to all day. Cornish is going to play hardball.
About Patch Adams?
Yeah, about a run of very disappointing... and Sir Roger, in no way will I do anything like this. I'm going to be so reverential, it's almost going to be sickening.
Yeah.
But with Williams, I stepped over the line and he looked genuinely depressed.
What the hell were you thinking about?
I felt ashamed after the interview. I thought, wow, He's a human being after all. He has feelings.
He's Patch Adams. What did you say to him about
Patch? I said, what were you thinking?
No, did you actually say those words?
I said, what went wrong? What were you thinking?
Oh, my Lord. And what did he say?
He said, I don't know. It was a bad decision. You know, it was just, it was all bad.
The hair started falling off his forearms.
But, you know, that's in the past. And this is going to be a very exemplary... you know, it's going to be a very good... This interview is going to be played back at BBC workshops to show how to conduct a respectful, reverential interview.
Yeah, I believe that.
Fingers crossed.
Now, Joe, when you have arguments with people, whether it's a girlfriend or a friend or whoever, do you... And I'm talking not so much of emotional type arguments, but I mean, all arguments are a bit emotional, aren't they? But about facts, specifically disagreements about facts, and then if you find out years later that that fact actually you were right and they were wrong, do you do anything about trying to get back in touch with the person?
Well, I feel that with this question you are hoping that I, you know, will sympathize with you, because you do that quite a lot, don't you?
Do you think I do?
Well, you're the man that thought aeroplanes traveled at the speed of light.
Yeah, I did.
Until you were how old?
No, I was young-ish.
You were in your teens, though, weren't you?
Oh, I was 11. I was 11. I was 11.
Yeah, but I can't think of a time when that's happened to me, but it's obviously happened to you recently, so get it off your chest.
Gets under my... It didn't happen that recently. Years ago when
our first... What did you say?
7 years ago when our first son was born. I remember the night that my wife came back from the hospital and he was sleeping in our room. And I like to have a fan on by the bed, right? I like the noise of it.
It's environmentally friendly.
It's really not, so I've stopped doing it. But there was, at that point... It was summer as well, and it was very hot. Anyway, I liked the fan on, and we had this massive argument, me and my wife, about, like, you can't have the fan on because the babies don't like it. It's really dangerous. The baby might die. It's terrible. You've got to be so careful. We had a huge... I was like, it's a fan. The baby would like the fan. I want to keep the fan. This is a disaster. We've got a baby now, and I'm not allowed to have my fan. My whole world's being turned upside down. So it wasn't a very mature argument. But anyway, I gave in, obviously.
So this was 7 years ago?
7 years ago. Today.
Cut to the present day, and...
I'm flicking through, what's it called, the Week magazine, and here in their health and science section, fans reduce the risk of cot death. Parents may be able to reduce the risk of cot death by putting a fan in their baby's bedroom. Blah, 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 blah. Adam Buxton got into a big argument with his wife about this 7 years ago. No, it doesn't say that. But I'm so excited about taking this back to my
That you've decided to read it out on national radio.
I'm the king!
Just to rub it in for poor old Sarah.
Is that mature?
Yes, that's exactly the kind of thing a grown man does.
I was just checking, because I wasn't sure. There's a little kernel of doubt there about whether it was mature or not, but I'm glad you've confirmed.
No, well done.
Thank you.
That's put your wife in her place.
Thanks very much. Okay, here's some music now. This is the Brazilian super sexy combo CSS with Move.
That's CSS with Move. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're going to have another go at our fantastic new accents competition now.
You can't call it a competition.
It's not a competition.
It's a
happening, a feature, an event. Okay, there's no competitive element to this, what's about to happen at all. The idea is, can we recognise real or fake accents? How good are people at doing accents? And this is, of course, coming off Adam and my obsession with bad accents in movies, English actors doing terrible American accents and vice versa. So how easy is it to spot somebody who's putting on a foreign accent? So we've got two callers on the line. They are either pretending to be foreign or are genuinely foreign, and we have to decide whether they are really foreign or pretending.
Right.
By the quality of their accent.
I would say to both of those people, while they're listening right now, have a magazine or a book handy.
Some text that they can read out.
Yeah. Nothing filthy, obviously.
And until the moment when we ask you to be truthful, you can be as deceptive as you want with us in terms of what you say your name is, where you say you're from. You can invent an entire background for yourself, all designed to convince us that you are genuinely of the extraction that you're claiming to be. So we've got Rebecca on the line, I think. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
And this is your accent we're hearing now in full effect, is it?
Yes, that's correct.
It just sounds normal to me.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like you're English.
No.
No?
Rebecca. I'm from Texas.
You're from Texas?
Yes.
Well, would you read out a little extract from a book or a magazine if you have one lying around?
Okay, sure. I'm reading from Good Homes, an article by Xander Rhodes. It says, how would you describe your style? Colorful. I'm certainly eclectic because I'm a collector,
real,
a hoarder even.
Ah, that's okay. Real.
That's real. That's real, isn't it? That yeah. Sounds to me like a genuine Texan accent.
Very good.
Is yeah. That not true?
No, I am.
There you go.
And whereabouts in Texas are you from?
I'm just north of Dallas.
Oh.
Just north of Dallas?
Are you
just from just north of Dallas?
See,
right there?
That's not quite such a good accent there.
Well, no, this wow, if I was really in better. A film, if I was in a film, that's how I would do it.
Whereabouts would you say that accent was from, Rebecca?
Oh, the bowels of hell. I don't know what that was.
Stockwell.
That was pretty rubbish. Sorry,
and
babe.
Are you a resident of the UK now? Or
Yes, I am. I'm a citizen.
That was too easy.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Was it easy? No, it wasn't
easy. It's just so genuine, your accent. It just sounds so ingrained. Mm. Can you do a British accent, Rebecca?
I knew that was coming. No, it's really bad.
Give it a shot. Read out that same bit of text. Imagine you're in front of cameras. You're playing an English person. You've got to crack an English accent. Read that same bit of text out in the best English accent you possibly can. Go.
Okay. Sandra, how would you describe your lifestyle? Colourful, certainly eclectic, because I am a collector, a hoarder even.
That is brilliant.
See,
no,
it sounded
crap,
the same to me.
No, that was good.
Yeah?
That was good.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, Rebecca.
Sure.
You're very kind. Thanks for being from Texas.
And do you know the band Spoon, Rebecca?
I'm familiar with their work.
Yeah, they're from Texas. That was a little bit of Texas bonding for you. It was very
it was good.
Go.
It was lovely.
Very primitive.
Warms the cockles of my heart. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Rebecca. Thanks for listening. We've got Deacus on the line now. Hello, Deacus.
Deacus.
Hi, Deacus. Here.
Oh, hey, Deacus. Now, Deacus, what nationality are you claiming to be?
I'm not claiming. I'm Trinidadian, you know.
Oh, no.
Deacus.
Deacus. What? He went
What's the problem,
who vetted these calls? Who's responsible for selecting these calls?
Deacus, have you got a magazine or a book handy there that you can read from for a little while?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I have something called, let me see, Enigma. It's about the Enigma Code, you know. I was standing in the middle of a clearing in a pine forest just outside Berlin. When I realized that I must have found what I had been seeking for months,
okay,
I've been hunting.
Deacus, you can stop there. You had better, for the sake of the BBC and our guidelines, be genuinely where you're saying you are from.
Yeah, man. I grew up near Chigones.
Near where?
North part of Spain.
Spain.
Chigones.
Yeah, yeah.
You heard of V.S. Naipaul?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
He grew up there, man.
Right, right. Deacus,
is that real, Deacus?
Now you have to speak with your real accent, because we believe that maybe you're putting that one on.
Yeah, you've rumbled me.
Oh, Deacus.
That was a good attempt, but you know, the thing that gives away a lot of people when they're putting on the accent is a certain nervous breathlessness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that was sort of undone by its broad, stereotypical nature.
Lack of
close observation.
As kind of Jamaican/Trinidadian accents go, I thought it was not too bad.
Really, I did. I thought it was too bad.
I thought it was too bad. I started to get into it at the end, though, when I started talking about Naipaul and everything.
Inhabit the role.
You know, that was the bit that actually made me think you were clinically insane.
The thing is, I think if there's a skin colour difference, the casting people would be so unlikely to cast you as someone from Trinidad.
Yeah, but you do get a lot...
I'm actually half Trinidadian, my mum's from Trinidad. So
there you go. You do get a lot of... it's funny hearing white Trinidadians with a very strong accent.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you sort of assume they're putting it on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Deacus... Yeah, I think you fooled Adam there.
Is your name really Deacus?
No, it's Jack. It's Jack.
Jack.
Well, Deacus, you really fooled Adam there.
How did he fool me?
You thought he was real.
I did not think he was in any way real. I thought he was doing a decent job of a decent, if insane, job of pretending to be from Trinidad. But Jack, thank you very much indeed for your call. Have a good weekend. What are you up to this weekend?
I'm going to Norwich.
Hey!
Is where your wife is from, I think, or something?
East Anglia. We're living near Norwich,
but I grew up in Norwich, so I'm going there to see my parents and my Trinidadian uncle.
Excellent.
Have a great time, and thank you for listening and calling, Deacus.
Yes.
Have a good one. Take care.
I'm not going to stop calling him Deacus.
Cheers, Jack.
So there's that experimental competition. I'm not sure how that played out.
What
in
do
the
you
end.
Think? It's a tough one, isn't it? Maybe
it's
we
a tough
can
one.
We come back
more
to
thought.
It. Certainly won't get working on the jingle just yet.
We're very excited, listeners, to have Sir Roger Moore in the studio. We'll be talking to him in a matter of minutes.
Probably after the news. But before we do, here's some more music for you now, listeners. This is a free play, and this is Field Music. Have you heard any Field Music, Joe?
No, but I've heard they're good.
They are good, yeah. Oh, look, the
Someone's
phone
left the phone off the
alert.
Hook, and it's making its alarm noise.
The off-the-hook alert. It's good, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of the good things about modern
music.
Life. No, it's not actually Field Music. They're good. It's an unusual sound. It's like a cross between Steely Dan and Gang of Four or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like angular on the one hand, but sort of smooth and harmonious on the other. Anyway, listen to this. This is Walking to Work. Working to Work, not Walking to Work, you idiot.
Can't you get anything right?
No.
You know what? We do it on purpose to keep people engaged.
Exactly. That was Field Music. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. A bit more music now, then the news, and then we are going to be meeting Sir Roger Moore here on the programme, so do stay tuned. Right now, here's Travis. Travis with Something Anything. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's nearly time to meet Roger Moore. After the news and a bit of music, we will be doing exactly that. I can see him through the window, Joe Cornish.
I know.
He's through there. I wonder if, did he do any accents? Was he, he wasn't really an accent.
Well, we can ask Sir Roger that. I seem to remember him being in a Nazi uniform in one of his films. Mm-hmm. Maybe Escape to Athena or From Athena or whatever it was called.
But can he do a good Trinidadian one?
Well, if there's any show that's going to test that, it'll be this one.
Time now for the news. 007, a fantasy Bond theme. That's Barry Adamson there. Very good. And our guest in the studio recognised that, of course, as the theme from Matt Helm, he said. I think he knew, of course, that it wasn't the theme from Matt Helm, as he is.
It was from The Persuaders.
It was, yeah, there you go. It was TJ Hooker. We are very pleased to welcome Sir Roger Moore to the studio here. How are you doing?
Thank you, Adam. I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you.
Hello, Sir Roger. I just want you to say my name, that's all.
Joe.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for coming in. I've got to say, this is a very big moment for the child inside me. Because, man, I used to love all of your films, like everybody, pretty much everybody else of our generation and everybody else in the country.
You didn't stop loving them, though, did you?
Yeah, no, I absolutely...
Yes, you did, when you met Robin Williams.
Yes. Yeah. Fell in love with him instead. No, they... you know, you're a lot of people are kind of you know, have lost track of the Bonds because they
Joe's got overwhelmed by
got overwhelmed.
He's
I've
got
been
all
starstruck.
He's got all starstruck.
Sorry.
I think what Joe was saying is very nervous, is because this is weird for me as well, because I was watching The Spy Who Loved Me yesterday with my young son Frank. He'd never seen it
was
before.
Was he in it? I don't remember.
No, he wasn't in it.
Oh, I see.
He was watching it. I was showing it to him, and I wasn't sure if I should show it to him or not, because I thought maybe it was too grown up for him. Do you know what I mean? Like he's only 5 or something.
Well, I don't know. I don't think there's anything particularly frightening in it.
He was freaked out by Jaws in there.
Well, I was too.
Yeah, I mean, he thought he was very scary, unsettled by the metal teeth and that kind of thing.
Can you imagine if Jaws had done... What was the marvellous film with Tony Hopkins?
Silence of the Lambs.
With those great big metal choppers.
Yeah.
But poor Richard Keel, he could only keep the, you know, last about 60 seconds with the teeth in. Because,
I'm sure.
Well, it was as though, you know, if you ever chewed a piece of silver paper.
Oh.
And it was like having that in his mouth, and so he would start gagging after about.
Horrible.
You had a technique for playing opposite those villains, Sir Roger, though, didn't you? Like a way to respond, it says in your bio, a way to respond to their evilness.
I just imagine, sometimes you didn't have to imagine, that they had halitosis.
Oh, yeah.
halitosis, which is something to do with something between the toes. Yeah.
And then you, yes.
Jerry halitosis, yes.
So you recoiled and winced. From the imagined bad breath there.
No, it's just go back slightly.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Joe is being very careful about keeping the sir at the beginning of
No, no, there's no sir. No, my
really?
Sir. No, Charlie, Mary, anything you like.
Really? Mm.
So you're not, I mean, because, you know, that's it's nice to be knighted. I want to be knighted. It's not going to happen, but...
I can arrange it.
Yeah, if you could, that would be ideal.
I will speak to HM.
How long ago were you knighted?
I think it was 5 years ago, six years ago.
I mean, that is good, isn't it? Being a knight of the realm, and but you don't. I mean, people generally would address you as Sir Roger, would they, out of respect?
Well, that is the correct form of address for a knight, a KBE. But sometimes it's Sir More, which it's not, of course. But me, it doesn't matter. It's
you don't get shirty about it.
Why would I?
I don't know. Some knights would, I can imagine.
Well, it isn't. Who's the famous actor that goes into a terrible tizzy if you don't call him? Ben Kingsley, isn't it Ben Kingsley? Rumour has it.
Surely not.
This is not something I've heard of anybody who knows him, but apparently if you don't call him Sir Ben, he goes into a rage.
He goes into a little Gandhi-style rage and starts...
He has a fit.
Wow.
Well, he was Gandhi.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so he's more noble than the rest of us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Gandhi at the one end of the spectrum and at the other end, the bloke from Sexy Beast. Have you seen that film?
Sexy Beast.
It's brilliant.
It's very good.
Got to watch that
one. It's got Ray Winston in it.
Oh, it's Ray Winston. Yeah. Yes, it's marvellous.
Yeah.
Now, we have been asking some of our listeners to send in questions, because we were keen not to just ask you the same questions that everybody else asks you. I mean, what do you get asked most often? What's the key?
Are they your own teeth?
Yeah.
What do I get up here? Who was your favourite Bond girl? What was your favourite Bond film?
Right.
We're not going to ask one of those. No, we're not going to ask either of those. But a question lots of people are asking is whether you use, or while you were playing Bond, whether you used the character at any time outside of the films, for instance, to attract ladies, or you were happily married during most of the Bond years, weren't you?
Yes, I think you can say happily I was married,
yeah. But did you ever use your Bond skills, your voice or the persona outside of the films to gain leverage in life or any situation?
No,
but surely you could slip into that voice and those mannerisms at any point and, you know, stun people.
Well, the voice and the mannerisms are me, and you know, you say, but it's the same in The Saint, the same in The Persuaders or Ivanhoe or Maverick. I don't change.
Yeah,
I'm just me.
What about Brian from Norfolk says, and this must have been asked to you before, so I apologise if it has. Has any lady ever wanted you to pretend you were James Bond when you were making love? You know, like a little sexy scene from a Bond movie. I really want to know, says Brian. It must have happened. You don't have to go into detail.
Well, Brian, I'm not going to tell you these things. That's, you might get too excited in Norfolk.
That's a yes.
I shall be in Norwich. I'll be in Norwich this week signing books.
Oh, good one. That's my next.
So Roger's point is that you kind of never snap out of character. You are the character.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a very rewarding way. So it's not a question of a woman having to request that. It's just 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Non-stop.
He's got a license for that weapon.
Which is steady. A fantastic thought, isn't it?
Now, we're going to play a bit of music, and after this, we are going to play you our bits of music that we've created for the new Bond film, Quantum of Solace, but we would very much like your opinion.
I look forward to hearing it.
First, here is Source with You Got the Love. Candy Staton there with the Source, You Got the Love. We are here in the Six Music Studio with Roger Moore, Sir Roger Moore.
No, Charlie Moore.
Jimmy Moore, Johnny Moore. He's
now
here.
We should explain. So I'm going to carry on calling you Sir Roger. It feels wrong not to. Mm. We should explain what's about to happen. We have a segment on this program where Adam and I write songs.
Mm-hmm.
So and we pick a theme each week, and we go away individually, and
sometimes
every once a month.
Yeah,
and we craft these songs. When I say craft, I mean that in the loosest sense of the word craft. And the theme one week was to make prospective theme tunes for the Quantum of Solace, to try and second guess the producers and see if we could come up with a better theme song. So we are going to now play you, maybe just to ease you in gently, one of those theme songs.
Yeah.
And see what you think. See whether you... Have you heard the new theme song to the Quantum of Solace, the Jack White and Alicia Keys song?
I heard it once.
And do you have a strong opinion on? Did you have a strong opinion on the theme songs in the Bond movies you were in? Because you had some of the best. You had Live and Let Die.
Great, great piece of
For Your Eyes Only is great. Nobody Does It Better is great.
I always had a soft spot for Moonraker.
Moonraker's fantastic. Yeah. Bassie?
No, they were all good. The one thing about the Bond films that you can be sure of, they're going to be good music.
Yeah. Mm.
Hopefully quite a
solid. What about the Madonna one? Obviously, you couldn't say anything at all, really.
Did Madonna do one?
Yeah, she did Die Another Day, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Analyze this, Freud. It had all sorts of weird talking in it, and it was odd.
Well, listen.
It's genuinely regarded as the weakest theme.
Yeah, yeah. The weakest link. Let's play ours now. Do you want to go first, Joe? Or?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is just called The Quantum of Solace, and see what you think of this song, Sir Roger.
He's got a gun and great big man tits. He's got jug ears and tiny trunks. Dame Judi Dench is furious with him. He's gone completely out to lunch. The quantum of
the
solace.
Quantum of solace.
Lyrically provocative, Sir Roger, and I don't expect you to respond in detail unless you want to. Those are my opinions.
I say, Don Black, eat your heart out.
Oh, well, that's very flattering, I think, even though I'm not entirely sure who Don Black is.
He wrote most of the lyrics for Bond's songs.
Really? He was the lyricist?
And along with Carol Bayer-Sager and Marvin Hamlisch.
Right. I'm sorry.
And Leslie Bricus.
Leslie Bricus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, so that's very flattering.
Joe's thesis there, Roger, is that the noughties have got the Bond they deserve, a nasty, brutish Bond, as opposed to the rather more fantastical and romantic one that you personify. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do, because I killed them with love.
Yeah.
He kills them with his fists.
You had a consciously slightly comic approach to Bond, though, didn't you, Sir Roger? Your approach to the character overall, because you thought there was an absurdity to the character in the Fleming novels.
Well, the fact that a spy is recognised in every bar in the world, and they immediately see a martini shaker, not Mr. Bond. You know, how can you be a spy? How becomes Bond the spy?
I was talking about arguments that you settled years later, earlier on, and I remember a flaming argument that my parents had when I was very little about whether Bond had a martini shaken, not stirred, or stirred, not shaken. And my dad was saying, no, he has it stirred, not shaken. My mum was like, what are you talking about? It's shaken, not stirred. And they had a huge bust-up about it, and they don't live together anymore. that's not the reason, but
there were too many martinis.
Yeah, exactly. That was probably the thing. Anyway, I just mentioned that by the by. I'll play you my Bond song now.
Okay, I look forward to it.
This is my Quantum of Solace song. Here we go.
Brits. I've got cars and guns and gadgets. I've got ladies with big brains. I've got licenses to kill. I've got licenses to fish. I've got sexy suits and air miles. But here's my biggest wish. I'd like a quantum of solace, but no more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. I only want a teeny tiny slice of solace before I shoot you. Bottom location chase, bottom location chase, shooting dirty baddies in the busy foreign street. Bottom location chase, running all around, and now I've really hurt my feet. Ow.
So, Mr. Bond.
Yes, hello.
You want to stop me?
I do want to stop you, yes, but only if it's exciting.
I met a lovely lady, but found out she was a rotter. So we exchanged some saucy quips. I snogged her, then I shot her.
But I felt quite bad because I'm such a modern, complex guy. Sometimes this job gets to you, and maybe that is why. I'd like a quantum of solace, but no more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. I only want a teeny tiny slice of solace
before I shoot you.
Quantum of solace, I'd say it's the name of the film of the music. Quantum of solace, I did it again just there.
I think we will meet again, Mr. Bond.
Okay.
It's a little drama for you within the song.
Well, I think it's absolutely lovely. You miss some obvious rhymes with wits and things like that. But
it's BBC.
But how the devil did get Michael Caine playing Bond?
He thought that was my best Roger Moore in there.
Oh, I see. Well, not many people know that.
Now, Sir Roger. Mm. It's been really nice meeting you. We're almost at the end of the show, and I feel frustrated because it took us a while to get over our nerves at meeting you. It's quite overwhelming, and I imagine a lot of people who do meet you do get very tongue-tied and starstruck to have someone as iconic as Bond suddenly in front of them, and you're
talking about me.
Yeah, Joe Cornish. Do you get a lot of nutty fan action? Do you have to be sort of careful sometimes?
No, my favourite one is when people say, "Are you who you think you are?"
Yeah.
Would you be interested in doing a spin-off Bond film that Adam and I might write? You know, like Sean Connery did Never Say Never Again. Mm. If Adam and I were to find some kind of legal loophole and write some kind of Bond film, because I think you're still, you know, you'd still be great. Harrison Ford is back in there. Everyone's coming back. Yeah. You know, the rules are being broken. Would you be up for that?
How much?
Money. Right, that's the key question, isn't it?
We could do £50 or £60.
We'll talk to BBC Worldwide.
Well, this is a BBC
They've got
budget,
lots of
I can
money.
Tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. So that's a yes.
Yes, we're yes,
on.
Definitely.
All right, listeners, we're going to have to write that film. And yeah, good. That's exciting stuff.
Roger, thank you so much for coming in.
Yes, thank
and,
you.
And we should stress, of course, that your book has been a highly enjoyable read for both of us.
Thank you.
My Word is My Bond is the title. And you're looking very sexy in there. We both thought you were fantastic on Jonathan Ross the other day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
How was that? We were speculating as to whether... What's it like there when you go on the show? Do you get given like a little drink in the green room there beforehand?
No, there's water.
Right.
And that's it.
Oh, no.
That's mine.
That's Adam's phone.
How disgusting.
Isn't that disgusting?
Absolutely that is my terrible. Wife. Can you believe that? What is she thinking about?
What? Is she getting Sir Roger to answer, for God's sake?
That was a bit unprofessional of me not to turn the ringer off.
Listen, Sir Roger, thanks so much for coming in. It's been an absolute honour and a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thank you,
Adam. Stop looking at me. I just freeze up because I'm so starstruck.
Well, you're quite exciting to look at.
Well, I know. So it's a dangerous combination.
I mean, this sort of television without pictures is
electrifying radio.
But not for you.
Yeah, we do. We really do appreciate you coming on this show.
I think you're either going to kill me or kiss me when you hit me.
That'll kill you if I kiss you, I tell you.
It's going to be kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
You never know where my tongue has been.
Well, what a superb way to end this week's show. We're going to play you out. What are we playing them out with?
A bit of Curtis Mayfield, I think.
Oh, yeah, this is a bit of recessionary music. This is called Hard Times. But thank you again, Sir Roger. Thanks for listening and texting and emailing and calling.
Stay tuned for Liz Kershaw. Don't forget, you can download the podcast either tonight or tomorrow at some point, and you can listen to the whole show again on Listen Again or the iPlayer. Thank you very much, listeners. Have a good week. Thank you.
See you next week.
Roger.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.